Mega Exclusive.
Show with SSF 1991.
Well, hi there. How's it going? So, it's been 2 weeks, but welcome back to the Sonic News Show here on Radio Sega. I think I'm finally getting the hang of doing this, like getting ready for it. Also, why isn't the thing actually getting lower? Unless that's just me imagining things. I have no idea. Usually it gets kind of lower when I'm talking, but I don't even. Oh well. As long as it's alright. But anyway, hi guys, how's it going? Welcome back to the Sonic News Show. I have completely forgotten what episode number this is. I think it's... Let me check real quick. It is episode 67. I believe it is episode 67. Getting close to that magic number. Oh boy. But, hi guys. So, see, before I get started, because there's a lot to talk about, I mean, there's not only this week to talk about in Sonic News and Sega News, but there's also last week to talk about. You know, the last 2 weeks for Sonic and Sega News. There's actually been quite a lot to talk about. So, real quick, getting down to the IRC roll call. Esper K, II1980, Schiltz. Call you Shits, but that would be rude, you know. We've already got Steve, so I mean, do we really need Shits as well? I'm kidding! Schiltz, Sonai, some scrub, SS7921, Woe21, CTR, Flon, is it Flone or Flon? Tomato, tomato. Fluffy, Foxy, Frieza, Guest 28643, Guest 44914, 3.1459, Ink, Lime, Mick underscore Binds, Spinnick, Trekkie, Vegeta, Voice. Wait, we have Frieza and Vegeta here. We have a freaking Dragon Ball Z cast starting up in IRC now. We have Frieza and Vegeta here. Where's Goku? That's the question I want to know. Where's Goku? Where's Trunks? You know, where's Bulma? Where's the rest of the... Oh, it's Schiltz. Okay, I why did I pronounce it as Schiltz? I don't know. I'm fancy, I guess. I don't know. Either way, there's an entire Dragon Ball Z, like, cast here. Voice and Zimidon are here. Silver. Now someone's Silver in the chat. Oh boy. I can't complain. Nevertheless, guys, welcome back to the show. Slightly smaller crowd than last week, or the last show, you know what I mean. Not sure, there are probably more coming in as time passes, but nevertheless, like I said, there's a lot to talk about. First up is actually something really cool, and actually, to say that this was critical is an understatement. Also, now there's someone named Goku, and apparently they're not allowed to use that name, because they immediately got, so, oh my god. You got denied. You got Kamehameha'd by the Surreal Chat server. Boy, the IRC's not having none of it today, aren't they? In case you want to go to the IRC and chat right now, and just admire all the beautiful antics that are going on right now, the link is radiosa.ga//IRC. That's radiosa.ga/IRC, so Sega is actually split in the middle, and you put a period in there, and it's technical, and yeah. But, you can do that. I don't really need to tell you how to listen, because if you're peering me right now, then odds are you don't really need to be told. That'd be just weird. Hey guys, if you guys want to listen to me, this show right now, as you're hearing me, you just do the following. You clear out your hearing for starters, and... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, okay? Just, you know. But like I was saying, as I got distracted by the glorious IRC, because ADDA, over 350,000 titles were sold after the Sega Mega Drive and Genesis Classics Hub launch. Over 350,000 games were purchased after the Sega Mega Drive and Genesis Classics Hub launch. That deserves an applause, because that's absolutely amazing. That was in the span of a month. That is absolutely insane. And it should be worth noting, a lot of this was already, like, a lot of these titles were already, have been out for years now, like, on Steam. But to say that over 350,000 games were sold, like, if you need any more proof that Sega is still relevant, Sonic is still relevant, all Sega's IPs are still relevant, there you go. Games that were sold have been on Steam for years now, games that are seen in so many different platforms, and they could still manage to sell over 350,000 of these titles on Steam in just a span of a month. It may not even be a month, it may just be like a week or two afterwards. That is absolutely insane, to say the least. Like, I don't think any one of us ever expected this many, you know, this much in the way of sales. But if you needed any more proof that Sega is still very, very much relevant, and just it's just crazy to think that people still think Sega should, you know, go over to Nintendo or sell their IPs to Nintendo. Why would they do that when you can clearly see they're still doing absolutely magnificent with sales when they actually are competent in what they do, you know? It just says a lot, really, you know? Like, how relevant Sega still is. And this was just more evidence of the fact that this is still very much the case. But any case, that was absolutely superb news. But there is more to talk about. And this is where I'm going to have to bring up my usual, hey guys, I'm about to rant because Sonic fans are being Sonic fans again. Because this is a weekly thing now, and, you know, it's never a dull moment. But the reason why this is the case, and the reason why what this is related to, is more, for those who aren't aware, there is a Sonic 25th Anniversary album coming up. It's supposed to be releasing next month, I believe. It's around Sonic's birthday itself, I believe. So, I should probably get a, you know what? People in the IRC just reminded me of something. Like, my teenager said, warning, Donnie rant, arg. I should probably see if I can get a segment intro or something like that, warning people that there's about to be a Donnie rant or whatever. I mean, the Sonic R show tends to have their own little thing when rants are about to start. I should probably do the same, because I seem like I'm always ranting on this damn show. But it's because I have an outlet now, you know? But anyway, Wormbag, yes. Wormbag. But needless to say, more Sonic the Hedgehog 25th Anniversary album details have been unveiled. As a matter of fact, I have the link right here, because believe it or not, I actually did fully prepare this time and have a lot of the things available to me at my disposal. So, the album will be released on June 22nd, so the day before Sonic's birthday. It shall consist of 25 tracks, because, well, 25th anniversary. And although it's going to be the 20th, despite it being the 25th anniversary, Jun Senoi quickly clarified that it will not have music from a supposed game for the 25th anniversary. The fact that he said that it was a supposed game kind of made me wonder, wait, what? But also, I'm not, can you really play, like, just, let's just clarify here for the record, the fact that he, that that was one of the first things he said. He quickly clarified this. I can't help but laugh as hard, because that just shows how much Sega is aware at how many people are complaining about the lack of a game this year, a main Sonic game this year. Just it's hilarious that this is, they are so aware of this that Jin Sonoi literally had to quickly clarify this. One of the first things he said was about the relationship between the album and a supposed 25th anniversary game. I just find that absolutely hysterical, because that just sums up this fan base this year so far. That they have to, that Jin Sonoi had to quickly say that. He also said that there will be vocal themes to level music, so level music is going to be in the game. There will be, not in the game, but in the album, and there will also be vocal themes. Jin also said he's not finding it easy to figure out the selection of tracks to include, and that he wants to have time to include some small gift on the disc, such as adhesives, which included some previous albums of Sonic. He said that the albums will try to be available at the party to be held in San Diego in July. So the July, you know, the 25th anniversary party that's being held in July, he's going to try to get the albums available there. It will also not be a simple mix of tracks from different games, but they are working to remaster some themes to make the album feel as uniform as possible. In other words, he's trying to make it good, basically. That said, though, now, of course, the people are probably wondering, well, what does this have to do with the rant that you've been going on about? Here's where I get to this part. This is where I actually get to that part. Because, unfortunately, there's been some comments that have come up. And let me explain. You see, I actually did do the voicing. I did do the voiceover for the Tales Channel video about these anniversary album details. And I've been looking through I was looking through the comments, you know, seeing what people think of my, giving the feedback and all, you know, seeing how they, feel about me being on there and stuff like that. And I scroll down, and one of the first things I read was, and the thing is, the comment seems like it's been deleted since, but I saw that comment. You can't hide that comment from me. I saw that comment. It's not there anymore, unfortunately, but it was something along the lines of, I don't care about anything Sega shows or announces, as long as it's unless it's the announcement of a new Sonic game. Let me give you two reasons for why you're full of it. Alright? First off, Sega has done this for years. They have always done this for years. Sonic is not just games. Sonic has always been an entertainment media, like, expanded icon now. There is, you know, there is the games. You know, you have the games, but you also have the cartoons. You know, you have television. You have music. You have comics. You have merchandise like toys. You have that. You know, it's a multimedia brand now. It's not just games anymore. So naturally, Sega is going to announce this stuff. Yeah, their T-shirts too. There's clothing. You know, Sega is going to announce this stuff. Just because it's not game-related doesn't mean that it's not important. Because believe it or not, this stuff does sell. It may not seem like it to you, but this stuff does sell. You know, in fact, the only thing about Sonic Boom that did not do well was, you know, it was the games. The merchandise sold, the cartoon did well in the ratings. The games were the only thing that failed. But because Sonic became the multimedia brand, because Sonic became a multimedia brand because of the games, people still associate the flagship of Sonic, people still associate it with games. But it's become less so about his games and just more about the overall product now. But because people, like I said, still are just so damn impatient about this game that we still have not even had official confirmation for Sega even existing yet. You know, it's become natural now that anything news, the slightest bit of news from Sega, you know, is immediately met with, I don't care because it's not a new game. I don't even know, like, why this is a thing, but here's the other reason why I think they're full of it. If you're going to say that you don't care for it, just a hint, just a word of advice, why are you commenting about it then? Because, for starters, you took the effort to go to the video that Matt and I did for the album details. You went through the effort of going to the comment section. You went through the effort of writing that comment. You went through the effort of posting that comment. And then you even went through the effort of deleting that comment. So you went back to the video again and deleted it. So obviously, you definitely care about these details more than you're letting on. Also, odds are, you're probably among that same crowd who, in a week from now, are going to make these comments yet again and sound like a broken record. Because this is the exact same thing that has been going on now for months now, where almost every little thing, not just on videos, but in TZZ comments, you know, TZZ comments, articles I've written, you know, that I put a lot of effort into writing. You obviously care about this news. You obviously care, because you wouldn't be commenting then. And there's actually another comment similar to this. And it's even worse, because not only do I say, if you don't care what they do, why are you here, but why are you even a fan? Why are you even in this fan base? And here's why. In the same video, now this comment is actually readable. You can actually go if you actually go to Tails' channel and look at the comments in the More Sonic the Hedgehog 25th Anniversary Album Details Revealed video, you can actually find this in the comments from a week ago. So it's still there. But here's what the person said. I'm not going to say who it is. As per usual, I don't actually say who make these comments. I'll tell you, okay, here's where you can find it and go from there. But anyway, the person said, I don't care what they will do. Sonic franchise is nothing but a wasted dead horse franchise. Worth noting, he spelled franchise. He should have left out the end. Screw Sonic, this franchise has been long beaten, and it's a shell of its former self. I'm literally reading as he wrote this. After this Sonic game is released, they should shut down the Sonic franchise for good. Yes. He basically said, I don't care about anything Sonic, because it's bad, and they should get rid of it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is our fan base. More specifically, the vocal fan part of the fan base that everyone outside of the fan base sees very often. Do you see why I say the things I say on this show and why I speak out about it? Because these are the kind of comments that people outside of the community see. So even though, you know, there are fans out there that aren't like this, you know, obviously there aren't. I mean, obviously, it's a vocal minority, but it's the minority that everyone sees because they're so vocal that this is all they people outside the community sees. And unfortunately, it's going to paint the fanbase in a bad light. That's why the fanbase is painted the way it is outside of this community. Because this vocal minority is so vocal, it seems like there's a lot more than there really is. And as much as I hate to say it, it's a problem, you know? It's a huge problem. Which is why I speak out against it. You could say, oh, I know that there's not all the fans, you know, not all of them are bad. You know, the fan base isn't entirely bad. Yes, I'm aware of that. But does everyone else know that? No, they don't. I'm gonna be quite honest with you. No one really knows everyone outside of this fan base, wants nothing to do with this fan base because all they see is the same vocal is what the vocal minority's saying. And unfortunately, that provides a problem. You know, that presents a problem. And when it presents a problem, well, when you have your own fan base being having such a bad reputation, you know, that you have to say something, you know? Do you really want... Wouldn't you want more people to be in the fan base, you know, and help ease up that vocal minority? Because not all... like, it's like I said, you know, not all fans are bad. But if you can get more of these good fans here, you know, that would be amazing, you know? It would help that. You know, I don't think you're gonna... I don't think you're a troll if you don't support, you know, as Sasana is saying, I think jokingly. But there's a reason why I speak out against the fans' antics frequently on Twitter and frequently on the show, because I want people to see just how common this is. The fact that I'm always saying this, like, how the fact that there's always these kind of things, like, every time I do a show, sometimes multiple times even, you know, that's not a good sign. And I realize, again, that the fanbase isn't entirely bad, but again, not everyone, people outside of this fanbase don't see that. They see an entirely different fanbase, you know. So, by explaining just what the fanbase is actually like, you know, and voicing against the stuff, it kind of gives evidence of that, wait, maybe not that they aren't really aren't all that bad, you know? You know, maybe they're not, the fanbase isn't all that bad, you know? How you say my name is just like saying Sonic without the C. It's not that hard to... Oh, squeeze me. Sonic, okay. It's Sonic. That's kind of awkward to say, but it's Sonic, okay. But, yeah. But I just want to make this clear that I don't like venting about these fans. Trust me, I'm well aware that the fan base is not all that bad. But unfortunately, Sonny, I thought Son, but it sound, you pronounce it as Son It. So Sonic. Because that's how I say. Anyway, please. But anyway, I think it's safe to say that I've gone on long enough about this. This won't be the last time I talk about fans, but in the show. But Sonny, please. but it is. I'm gonna put this away for now. But I will be going back to this in a bit. But it's not gonna be like rant worthy or anything like that. So. I just wanted to make things clear, you know? You know, I really wanted to... You guys understand where I'm coming from in the whole... I realize that Sonic fans are not all bad, but unfortunately, there is that vocal minority, and, well, it becomes an issue, you know? When a vocal minority is to the point where it kind of detracts from the fan base itself, you know, it's a problem, you know? But that said... There's more of a business aspect of this. There is a business aspect to this show to talk about, mostly on the basis of the Sega Sammy fiscal year results. As you guys probably know now, Sega Sammy is the parent company. Sega Sammy Holdings is a parent company of Sega, and you know Sega Sammy is based in Japan and stuff like that. Now, I want to make this clear. I'm not going to go too much details into this because there's a lot of business stuff and, you know, etc. and things like that. But there is a reason why I'm bringing this up, and I'm going to get to that. But let me explain it. Sega Sammy actually got a profit in their fiscal year results. They actually reported a profit. Which is great news. Until you find out why they got a profit, and then it's like, it becomes from great news to very bittersweet. Because unfortunately, it took the company restructure and subsequent layoffs to get a profit in the first place. So, laying off a lot of jobs lost is why they got a profit in the first place. Cost-cutting efficiency, something like that. But it's a very bittersweet, fiscal year result. And, but it indicates that the restructure did exactly what Sega Sammy was wanting to do, which was, they wanted to do the restructure, they did the layoffs, but unfortunately, even though we lost all these jobs and all the stuff, it meant that Sega Sammy did the exact business decision that they wanted. And that was to get a profit back, start earning money again. And that's exactly what they ended up doing, but unfortunately the results, they were very bittersweet. They were very bittersweet. And, hopefully with, the stagnant sales and games and stuff like that will finally pick up now, as they're expecting to in the later half of the year. At least there's that, there's still hope, but here's the thing, like I said, it's very bittersweet, and, a lot of jobs were lost, but in a way, the reason why I say bittersweet is, although it's unfortunate what happened to these people, and all the layoffs and the restructure, it means Sega Sammy has earning money, so they're getting money again, And that's a good thing, because we want Sega Sammy to stick around. We want Sega to stick around. We want them to keep making Sonic games, because we know Sega is very capable of making good games. We've seen it before. We've seen it many times before. But whenever Sega does poorly, it hurts, It hurts. And, it's really... There's not much I can say except, as painful as it is to see what causes profit, in a business sense, what else were they gonna do, Like, I think the thing that a lot of people need to keep in mind is, Sega's business, situation right now is very, very unique. Not many people can say they're in this kind of a situation. For Sonic to be in the state he's in, has never happened before, because remember, you could say, many companies have been in the situation before where, they're recovering from a bad product. Here's the thing, though. Not many companies can say they're recovering, they're having to do this a second time. a second time in a decade. On the scale. And then having to do a company restructure. There's a lot of things that make the situation unique for Sega, so there's really nothing, there's no precedent. So, odds are, they have to do unique things to react to this. This includes taking their very, very sweet time with putting out products. It means, changing the way they go to conventions and stuff like that. It's just what they have to do now, There's not much else they can do, because this is the situation they're in now. But that's it. It's break time. It's time to do a music break. I like how you're saying, what is Donnie even saying anymore? I'm saying that Sega's in a very, is in a position in a business situation that no one else has really seen before. So, it's understandable. To a degree, we can't really compare to other companies and, make decisions based on that. But anyway, we're going to do our music break as we usually do at the bottom of an hour. I'm going to contemplate getting rid of these, to be quite honest. I may stick a bumper, just one bumper, and that's it. But I don't know yet, I don't know yet. Going to give it time first. But, seeing as how the breaks seem to end up being so damn, awkward, that's it. Coming up next, as I'm still sorting out the, I'm still sorting out the music break. I'm almost done, though. The music break will be... I can find the track I want to put here. There it is. I hope you guys are ready to do some headbanging, if you can call it that. Headbanging and... some catchy tunes. Because coming up will be two tracks. Ice Cap Zone Act 2 from Sonic 3 & Knuckles. By the way, we're going to be talking about Sonic 3 & Knuckles later in the show, so... Nice. Preview here. Ice Cap Zone Act 2 from Sonic 3 & Knuckles. Followed by Rooftop Run Day from Sonic Unleashed. You guys are listening to the Sonic News Show here on Radio Sega. I'll catch you in a bit.
Mike Pollock, the voice of Dr. Eggman. And unless I'm mistaken, you're listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.
Hi again. I need to play. I was about to play that. I was just about to put in my show bumper, and then I was like, it's a little too late now. Hey guys, welcome back to the Sonic News Show. That was Ice Cap Zone Act 2 on from Sonic 3 & Knuckles, followed by a very nice Brady Sega bumper with a certain Mike Pollock, and Rooftop Run Day from Sonic Unleashed. So, yay. Also, oh, look. I see a Tails channel in the IRC that has just joined us. Hey, gamers, what's for lunch? Anyway, so a lot of people in the chat, we were talking a lot in chat during the music break about, you know, my tangents and going off on tangents and stuff like that and not being focused and all that. The Sonic News Show is a talk show, as I bump my mic. The Sonic News Show is a talk show. It's going to be a lot of talking, you know, and to fill in an hour, I'm not going to be talking about just these five topics, you know, all the time. You know, the goal of the show is to just go wild for an hour, just have five, you know, topics to talk about, you know, keep things flowing, and that's it. Like, that is basically all the show is. And trust me, if you think the show is crazy and has no focus, you haven't heard the Sonic R show, you know, on Sonic Radio. You have not heard that show. Because that show is even more crazy and out of focus than this one is. It could be a lot worse, trust me. I would know. But I did want to, as we go forward, that was actually rather fitting to, it was actually rather fitting to finish at topic 3, because the next topic, coincidentally, as Matt is actually here, because the very next topic is actually related to him, so this is actually very perfect. And the reason why it's related to him is because the next topic is the interview he conducted on his channel with Aaron Weber. As I said, we didn't do a show last Sunday, so I'm catching up on the past 2 weeks, not just this past week, the week before that. And Matt did a interview with Aaron Weber on his channel about the Sonic the Hedgehog 25th anniversary party and stuff like that. Which was very widely covered in the Sonic community, mind you. All two of them, TSSC included. SegaBits also covered it. No one else in the Sonic community covered this news. Because, I don't know. Actually, let me hang on. I have the perfect, where is it? Let me see. I think I have this somewhere here. Where is it? I hope I have it. I wonder if I have this sound. I don't think I do. I'm not sure if I should. Okay, here was the entire Sonic community reaction to the news that Matt did a interview with Aaron Weber, and this is the reaction. This is the coverage that had happened in the Sonic community following the news. A snore. Although that did not sound like a snore at all. The sound effect lied to me, I think, but, yeah, they were basically asleep at the wheel. As much as I don't like calling people out, and I don't like throwing shade or anything like that, but, damn it, why? This is important. This is important. It's important. It's so important. You complain about not having enough Sonic news, and then you don't cover Sonic news when it happens. Like, what's... I don't understand. I give all the credit to SegaBits for covering the story, because as far as I know, outside of TSC, they're the only ones that really covered it. Well, Shadow of a Hedgehog, I believe, covered it too, but not all too sure about that. I think they did. I'm about 100% they did. But either way, it's still... The fact that Shadow of a Hedgehog can cover it, not sites like Stadium or... You know, I can understand Retro because they have, you know, a writer shortage, but, you know... It bothers me why some of these sites don't actually cover news. Yeah, some Spanish Sonic websites cover it too, so... But remember when I was talking about how this wouldn't be, like, early in the show, how this wouldn't be the last time I mentioned fan comments during the show today? Well, there is another comment that I have to read. And again, it's on one of Matt's videos. And Matt can pretty much vouch for me. Like, can pretty much agree with me here. The comments Matt gets on his videos are just something else, you know? Like... I can't stress enough, Matt gets some strange comments on his videos. It's something else, but... Let me get the comment here. It was just made. Like, I just saw this before the show, and I thought, okay, I have to talk about this. Because this seems to be a problem that everyone loves bringing up. And it's... I have to talk about this, because it's... Oh God, is it? It's something that people just—it just shows a different taste that I think people have. Of course, it would help if. There we go. I had to format the comment a bit so it could look right. I know. This show is really becoming more like, oh, Donnie's calling out everyone. Well, for one, first off, it's stuff to talk about, and two. When you deal with this on a constant basis, you really feel the urge to say something, you know? Especially someone in the scale like me who sees these comments on all the time. Because, you know... What can I say? It gets to the point where you have to say something, you know? Yeah, why is it... Well, I wouldn't say this is drama. Like, this is actually a very... I should take note... I'm not actually going to rant about this comment. This isn't going to be a rant. Because they actually gave a very mature response. You know, it's a lengthy response, like 3 paragraphs long. But it's nothing, like... It's nothing harmful. Like, he's actually very, you know, polite about this. And that's why I'm giving this comment some attention. Because even though he has a problem with it... You know, he's voicing concern. He's not turning it into this, you know, beginning to becoming hostile and disrespectful and stuff like that. But let me read the comment. He says, "Okay, here's the problem with this." As he's talking about the interview, the Aaron Webber interview. I like Aaron Webber as a PR manager for Sonic. I just don't like all the memes he plasters all over the official accounts. I think he has made himself way too comfortable, and I have a feeling that this will really bite him in the ass later on in the future. The internet is a cruel and brutal place where people can turn their backs against you in a heartbeat. Whenever they're ready to talk about news again, especially the anniversary game, people aren't going to take them seriously at all, and they slowly lose credibility. People will see Sonic as an internet meme now because of this. It's bad enough that articles are saying that the official accounts are better than any Sonic game out there, and he puts in parentheses, which I heavily disagree with. And it can easily be mistaken as a parody account if not for the verified sticker. He's not really advertising the 25th anniversary party on the accounts either. He still has that big Fishing Adventure 3 pinned on the Twitter page, and it's been there for almost 2 months. If he wants to post some news, then he can post about the party or the Archie Sonic comic, etc. It's almost like the memes and self-aware jokes are the main priority right now over actual news. Now, as I said, he's very polite with it. He didn't insult Aaron. He didn't call anyone names. He gave mature, constructive critique. And this is all we ask for. Why can't people just give constructive criticism? Why can't we just get comments like this? I don't have an issue with you not liking the memes. It's only becoming an issue when you start insulting people. You know? But, that said, I do appreciate the comment. I really felt like, you know, it's worth it. But I want to actually talk about, you know, what the, I want to address these criticisms, you know. I'm not going to try to dwell into it too long because they're actually running low on time. I only have 10 minutes left in the show. So I'm going to try to make this quick. And there's only one more topic to talk about after this anyway. It's probably not going to be one. What was it that I actually... Okay, that, you know, that's actually something I definitely need to talk about. Potentially. I don't know. But in any case, let me talk about this. As a bunch of people just entered the chat. Wow. RC's full of people now. So he says, okay, here's the problem with this. He says he likes Aaron Webber as a PR manager for Sonic. I just don't like all the easy passes all over the official accounts. And he explains that he has made himself way too comfortable, and I have a feeling this will really bite him in the ass later on in the future. It really hasn't, though. Like, it seems like the more the memes happen, the more Aaron, the more popular and respected he becomes outside of the community. And the more it seems like he gets followers and stuff like that. It's something I've noticed, and I don't know why, it's a thing, you know, it's there, but, I'm glad that, like, it's helping, you know, but, the thing is that this has already been the case beforehand, you know? There's a lot of people joining. Did I miss something? Like a retweet or something? Joining the chat right now? Suddenly a huge influx of people came in. Saw the views of fact, but I have no proof to back it up. Well, I wouldn't say that. Like I said, I can understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, it's like, there's really no evidence to suggest that this is actually going to happen. I mean, I can't complain, but I don't really think it's going, like, the more time progresses, the more popular, the more widespread the social media accounts get, which is the entire point. Like, Aaron's marketing, doing PR, he needs to get more people into Sonic. He's kind of doing that by getting more Twitter followers and people, and the fact that the Twitter account for Sonic has doubled in size and followers in just the year he's been on the team, like, on the account, says a lot, really. It shows that he's succeeding. Now, as well, the problem is that he's not just posting memes. He's actually talking, you know, addressing people, like, he's also talking to people in the Facebook comments, replying to feedback and stuff like that. So he's not just replying with, he's not just doing memes. It's not just that. Also, Aaron actually has been talking about news. The Sonic Twitter 5th Anniversary Party was just mentioned the other day when it was sold out. It became a thing. It was announced on the Twitter when it was first announced, like, at the panel. You know, they talked about the seats running out, stuff like that. They talked about this stuff, you know? It was a thing. So, they have been talking about news. The Archie comics... The thing with the Archie comics is that I think they have talked about them once or twice, but, you know, no big deal. But the comics are more so a normal business thing. No big deal. I think the Archie comics have gotten as much of a crowd as they probably can right now. Comics are just not as popular as they used to be, unfortunately. I could have sworn, I think Aaron and Gene did talk about it, the comic. I could have sworn. So they have mentioned that they have talked about news. They've talked about it. We go on through the comment, and he mentions, people see Sonic as an internet meme now because of this. Well, here's the thing. Why is this a bad thing? you know, he's like, it's like if he's gaining, like, the fact that they are getting, okay, let me actually read the rest of that part, because he says it's bad enough that articles are saying that the official counts are better than any Sonic game out there, which I heavily disagree with, and it can easily be mistaken as a parody count if not for the verified sticker. Now, here's the thing, and here's where I highly disagree with that. People know Sonic has already been a meme. This is nothing new. Like, the only difference is that Sega's actually endorsing this now, you know? They're endorsing what the fans do. It's the same reason why Nintendo's doing occasional meme posts now. It doesn't make them a meme, they're just going along with the crowd and not necessarily trying to fit in, but appealing to them. You know, it's there, you know, Sonic has always been a meme. Aaron just reinforced it and had Sega endorse it, basically. So, this is nothing new. Also, why would it be mistaken for parody account? I think it's pretty clear that it's the official account, you know? I mean, it looks very official, even without the verified sticker. And usually parody accounts tend to be a lot more amateurish in the way they do things, so you can tell when it's a parody account. And they'll even say in their Twitter description that it's a parody account, you know, and stuff like that. But anyway, what I'm saying is, that's not the case. Going to be the case. It hasn't been the case. And then after that, he still has that big Fishing Adventure 3 pinned on the Twitter page, and it's been there for almost 2 months. Let me actually verify that. Let me verify that real quick, because that I don't know. I need to check to see if that's true. Looking at the official Sonic Twitter account, there is no... they're talking about the pinned tweet. Okay. They're talking about the pinned tweet, not actually, like, a banner or anything like that. Now, although that's pinned, it's understandable, though, because that's an official thing. That's actually a real fan game, and it's going to be developed even more. So, that's not a meme. Like, that's an actual game that's being made. Like, a real game. It's announced on April Fool's because April Fool's, but it's not... It's supposed to be a full-on project. And, well, why wouldn't you make that... You would make that the pinned tweet, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you? But, not much more I could say about that. You know, I just wanted to kind of address these. Like, as I said, it was constructive criticism. It may not have been criticism I agree with, and I don't think it's all accurate, but it's still constructive criticism, it's still polite, so that's all I ask for, you know? That's all a lot of us ask for. It's just explaining yourself in a polite, you know, in a polite manner is all I ask for. Just no insults, you know, or sounding condescending or anything like that. But that said, there's one last thing to talk about as we're 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to try to keep this part as brief as possible. But I'm sure you guys have seen on TSZ that there was an article called Reasonable Assessment, written by, I forgot his name. I am an idiot who completely forgot. Noah, that's right. For some reason, I wanted to say Jonah instead of Noah. But in any case, there's that article on TSZ. See, Sonic says, it may be constructive, but I don't really think that's the case. Now, here's the thing, though. Constructive means, basically, when I think of constructive, I think he's explaining his case. He's not just saying, this sucks, and you should, you know, stop doing it. No, he actually explained himself. He explained why he feels this way. That's what I mean by constructive. He actually presented himself, and not just, you know, it's Sonic shit. You know, he actually he gave a case for his opinion, which is why I say it's constructive. So, may not be the right meaning for it, but, I mean, that's just me. But anyway, quick talking about the Sonic 3 & Knuckles article. As I mentioned earlier about Sonic 3 & Knuckles being discussed later in the show, he talks about how, he explains that part, the reason why Sonic 3 & Knuckles' story is so good is because of this monomyth thing. He compares it to various, like, I guess tropes or whatever. But the thing for me is, like, I get where he's coming from, as it hits the top of the hour, so I guess we're gonna be running into a little bit of extra time here. But, I get where he's coming from, but I really feel like a lot of the quote-unquote cutscenes that were in Sonic 3 & Knuckles were just not needed. Like, for example, at the end of Ice Cap, going into Launch Base, Sonic just goes through this little this little tube of ice, like snow, that burrows through. My first thought is, like, after I've seen this cutscene enough, like, and as I've played through all the games, like, cutscenes like that were just, like, that transfer wasn't necessary. Like, it didn't show us actually going into the, zone or anything like that. Really, a lot of the transition cutscenes were not necessary. I think the one from Sky Sanctuary, well, not Sky Sanctuary, but, like, from Hidden Palace onward, I think that's where it was, like, alright, there's an actually important plot here. Sonic says, it's not like it's hurting the game, though, it's only a few seconds long. Thing is, though, is that I don't really think it was really necessary. That's just me, you know. It gives context on how Sonic goes to the next level. Well, things I already kind of figured that much, you know? Like, I didn't really need to see it to know that he probably went through snow. Like, he was going through snow for the last 2-3 acts, you know? Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, per se. Like, I can definitely see why people like that. It's just, it just seemed to me like it kind of broke the flow a bit of playing games. And it I probably wouldn't have cared as much if you could actually skip the cutscenes, but you can't, you know, because it was Genesis at the time, and I guess it was New Territories for Sega and something like that, I don't know. But I didn't find a lot of the cutscenes that worth it. But there's more to it than just that, you know. It's really nothing to say other than it's my opinion, so, I mean, yeah. But, that said, he makes this story to be out this grand, like, Sonic, you know, giant film filled with, what was it, like, he says it's a beautiful tale of alliance, betrayal, and redemption, ripe with tons of action and loads of fun. Its plot has all the proven elements and characters of a great story, according to years of research of folk tales and films. See, now here's the thing, though. Other Sonic games have done that exact same thing, but people hate the stories in those. There's been all sorts of Sonic games that has had alliance, betrayal, and redemption, action, and fun. And yet, they're so poorly executed, the stories are criticized heavily. Like, Sonic Lost World is alliance, betrayal, and redemption. It has that. But no one likes the writing in Sonic Lost World. Like, that's a thing. Like, Sonic Adventure 2, you can actually skip the cutscenes. So I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind at all. And it's worth noting, I'm not making the cutscenes to be this big deal or anything like that. It's just a little nitpicky thing. You know, it doesn't actually make or break my playing of Sonic 3 & Knuckles. It's just, you know, something it's there. But, Sonic says, dude, dying, that's because Lost World wasn't well written. But yeah, that's the point. Like, just because you have a story it was a story of alliance, betrayal, and redemption, right, with tons of action, loads of fun, just because you have those elements doesn't mean your story is well written. That's the point I'm making. It's like, yes, it wasn't well written, but the thing is, it has those same exact elements that Sonic 3 & Knuckles has. So, those elements don't automatically make a story good. You know? The story is good, but it's not for those reasons. Sonic 3 & Knuckles is, that is. So, I mean, that's what I'm just getting at. It's just, I don't think the case Noah's making here is applying, can really be applied to Sonic 3 and Knuckles, because the same thing could be said for other Sonic games, but just because those were poorly written, it goes badly. So, I mean, like, that case kind of starts, you know, that's where the flaw in the argument arises, so. Works as individual scenes, but fails as a complete story. I'm not sure what he means by that, but what you mean by that, but... Boy, there's a lot of you here on the IRC right now. I feel bad that I'm ending the show, so... I mean... I feel bad, but... Thanks, guys, for listening to me ramble on about nothing for an hour. I know this is a very strange show, and it was a lot of rambling and stuff like that, but... It's what happens. Like, I love the show because of how much I can make it an outlet for this stuff. I know, Indigo, you just tuned in, but I've been going for an hour now, and I usually end an hour. I'm sorry. I'll be back the same time next week. By the way, I'm not reading the show schedule for the coming week, because every time I do it, my time zone is in another castle, so I'm giving up on that. Casey does like three. Well, here's the thing, though, is that actually, I think I already have a episode called Rant Edition, Sonny. I believe I already do. I think I already have an episode called that, so I'm gonna have to call it something else, probably Tangent Edition. But the reason why the show only goes for an hour is because, unfortunately, I'm gonna be sandwiched between shows. So I actually originally wanted this to be on a. I wanted the show to be actually starting now. No, not now, but at 6. Like, an hour earlier than it usually is, but... It's ready to say, is that a show schedule, you know? So I have to keep that in mind. So that's why I can only go for an hour. I wanted to go for maybe an hour and a half, but... That would kind of allow me to do some more, yapping. But anyway, guys, I'm done for now. I actually did listen to advice, and I'm going to play up a track, like an ending-sounding track, to help conclude this... strange show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know there was a lot of me just going off on stuff and ranting and stuff like that, but like I said, that's what the show is. I go off on little bits and stuff like that and talk a lot for an hour, and for some reason a lot of you seem to tune in and enjoy it. I don't know why, but you do. And even more of you tend to tune in and enjoy it on YouTube, because I do upload these to YouTube. Donnie, use your feminine wiles to entice people to listen to more of our content. What can I say? Let's see here. What song can I play? I thought of one that was official ending, but then I was just like, hey, wait a second. Do I want to play that? So... But then I came up with an alternative... And it's the ending credits of Sonic 2. So, with that in mind, guys, gonna end the show with Sonic 2 ending credits. Not the actual Sweet Dream part, but with the ending credits. But for now, guys, I will see you all next week for another Sonic News show, provided there's stuff to talk about. I should clarify, when there's not stuff to talk about, I'm not gonna be able to do the show, because I need stuff to talk about if I'm gonna do a show, because this is a talk show. But if there isn't one, I'm pretty sure that there will be some stuff to talk about. I will do a nice little bit here. There will be a pre-E3 and post-E3 show next month. And there will also be a Sonic 25th Anniversary show. There's going to be a lot of special episodes of the Sonic News show coming up next month, as we're getting near the end of May. But I'll explain more about this stuff next week, I think. But for now... I will see you all next week, or on the interwebs, or whatever you wish. But for now, guys, take care. I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and I will see you next Sunday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, midnight GMT, here on Radio Sega. Good night, everybody.
Radio Sega. 10 years, the Sega is.